Well, we made it to Friday here on the Bernie Show on YouTube. Bernie Miklas with you. Hope you're off to a good start on this Friday. Thank you for all your support. We're about to hit 5,000 subscribers, and the comments continue to roll in, and very, very, very much appreciated. So thank you. I wrote something about this yesterday at scoopsnetwork.com. The thing of it is, I don't like to poach my own work, if that makes sense. You know, I write columns, but I also do these videos. But sometimes it's okay to kind of tap into it in both platforms. And it's all about how the Milwaukee Brewers have taken over the NL Central. And the difference between maybe what I wrote and what I'm going to talk about now is that I included the Cubs in this because as much as we complain about the Cardinals, as we should, complaints are justified how they have gone downhill, even though they're better this year than last year. But that's no consolation considering the trajectory of the franchise and missing the postseason 2 years in a row. But I was looking at what the Cardinals spend this year. If you go by the estimated 40-man payroll, the luxury tax threshold payroll, both the Cardinals and the Cubs ought to be absolutely embarrassed. And I would argue that the Cubs should be more embarrassed. And I know, but I know you're not here to listen to Cubs commentary, but it is relevant. And I want to get to something that Craig Counsell, their manager, said last night. But anyway, if you go by the 40-man payroll this year, the Chicago Cubs are spending $80 million more than the Brewers, and the Cardinals are spending $21 million more than the Brewers. And I went back to the start of 2017, and I'm just going to limit this just to the Cardinals because we know that the Cubs have really outspent actually both teams. The Cubs haven't won a postseason game since 2017. I mean, seriously, with that kind of payroll advantage. Anyway, you know, if you look at it from the standpoint of since the start of the 2017 season, I mean, Milwaukee's got a better record than both of those teams. Milwaukee has made the playoffs more times. They have won more division titles than the Cubs and the Cardinals. And when the Brewers clinched the other night, that made two straight division titles, three out of the last four and four out of the last six. So this division, until somebody steps up and proves otherwise, this division belongs to the Milwaukee Brewers. And I really like one aspect of this because there's so many people hung up on payroll size, spend. That's the solution. Spend. And it's just not that simplistic. There are points in time where the Cardinals and the Cubs, sure, should pick their spots and go for an elite player. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But how is it that the Brewers continue to outperform both of these enigmas, right? If you look at it, let's just talk about the two straight NL Central titles for the Brewers last year and this year. During that time, the Brewers in regular season have a 571 winning percentage. That's the fifth best in baseball. The Cubs are 511 winning percentage. That's a 16th in baseball. And the Cardinals are 22nd with a 470 winning percentage. Everyone ought to be just like shamed for both of these organizations. Then when you have a distinct and a very clear and a very obvious payroll advantage, you continue to get outmaneuvered by the front office of the Milwaukee Brewers, which brings me to something, and this is where I'm tying some things together. Let me look at my notes here. You know, if you look around baseball, and I've talked about this, you know, Jeff Luhnow came in and really modernized the Cardinals in terms of their drafting, scouting, drafting, player development, payroll efficiency, which, by the way, that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. It means not throwing money away with stupid signings, right? That's what that means, basically. Definitely. So, you know, Luhnow brought in more payroll efficiency. Player development was thriving. He also had really, really, really smart people around him. We've talked about it. Like, for example, the two guys that have overseen the complete teardown, then rebuild of the Baltimore Orioles, Mike Elias and Sig Madahl. They worked together in Houston under Jeff Lunau, but they before that they were in St. Louis working for Jeff Lunau, right? So then they went on to the Astros, who won 1-1-1-1-1. You can make your jokes about cheating or whatever, but in terms of building the roster, they did. It was a masterful rebuild. And then Elias and Madahl moved to Baltimore to do it there. And what doesn't get talked about enough in terms of the Jeff Lunau tree, let's call it, you know, you have in the NFL or the coaching tree, guys that worked for someone and then they moved on and, you know, it's like, well, did they learn a lot or did they take anything away from working for someone who was really good at what he did? I don't think Milwaukee gets talked about enough. The guy that put the Brewers into this position where they could outflank, outmaneuver, outwin teams with much higher payrolls than Milwaukee's had. Smallest market technically in Major League Baseball. You had guys with Lunau connections there too. First, it was David Stearns. And no, he did not work in St. Louis. Then it's Matt Arnold now. No, he did not work in St. Louis. But the point is, they were Lunau guys. They worked for him in Houston. Stearns came to Milwaukee and started this great, great, great ability to do more with less and to win at a pretty high level with less. And they've embarrassed the Cardinals and they've embarrassed the Cubs. Well, David Stearns was that guy. And then he left. I think this is his second year. Maybe if I'm wrong, I apologize. Stearns left to take over the New York Mets. And once he gets that thing retooled as far as their player development and some other things, the Mets are going to be ridiculous given their spending power with their multi-billionaire owner, Steve Cohen. Matt Arnold, he moved to the top job when Stearns left, and Matt Arnold, there's been no fall off whatsoever. In fact, as we said, they have won two straight division titles, three out of the last four. So it's funny how the Cardinals gradually weakened once Jeff Lunau left. They never replaced the brain power because it wasn't just Lunau. It was all these acolytes, all these assistants, all these analysts that were in St. Louis or in Houston with him. But it's funny how the Cardinals' brain drain started not long after he left. And it's one of the main factors why their minor league system has gotten outdated and why they have fallen behind in technology and why they have not, their payroll efficiency is embarrassing. I'm using that word a lot today, aren't I? I wish I had a thesaurus around here. I got to keep one in my head. Anyway, so you take Lunau out of St. Louis, right? And the Cardinals get, frankly, less intelligent? They lose intelligence gradually. It didn't happen at first, but it's like the intelligence level collectively of this organization with baseball down, 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 down. The same principles that Jeff Lunau had here in St. Louis that he taught other guys who worked for him. You see the difference it makes in Milwaukee. And I'm going to leave it at Milwaukee, Baltimore for sure. You see what differences it made in Milwaukee. So because of what I would call the Lunau factor, by the way, I'm pronouncing his name like 20 different ways so far. I apologize. You know, the Lunau factor, St. Louis, brain power, baseball brain power, arrow down, right? Milwaukee, baseball brain power, arrow way up. So that just shows you kind of the difference one person can make, right? Because it's a philosophy and it's a practice, like the practice of payroll efficiency, the practice of making sure your farm system, your player development system is flowing beautifully. And the Cubs haven't figured that out and they're doing better, but they haven't figured that out. And we know the Cardinals haven't figured that out in terms of, I've used the word infrastructure a million times. But really though, you know, the fact that the Cardinals and the Cubs are both chasing the Brewers is ridiculous, but the Brewers, frankly, are much smarter and they know what to do with their money. You know, during this run they've been on 2017 through now, They never ranked higher than 17th in payroll. Okay. The Cardinals were in the top 10 a couple, three times during those years. And the Cubs have always been way up there. And the Brewers have never ranked higher than 17th in the majors during this time of winning, where they took over the division. And let me give you a couple examples of what I'm talking about. This year, right? This season, let's talk about starting pitching. Milwaukee has done a wonderful job of competing after losing Corbin Burns. They traded him because he's going to become a free agent after the season. He's in Baltimore. They didn't have, you know, Brandon Woodruff basically didn't have him much last year. I think he made 10, 11 starts. He had shoulder surgery, missed all this year. That was planned. And they've had all kinds of other injuries. I mean, that rotation has just been bulldozed at times, and they've had to start a lot of different guys, right? But here's a great stat for you. When I talk about the brain power in Milwaukee up and the brain power in St. Louis down, this year the seven guys who have made the most starts for the Brewers this year are being paid collectively $20.6 million, okay? That's what Milwaukee is paying, and this includes some prorated salaries, like, for example, Frankie Montas. That's the part of his salary that they were responsible for after they acquired him from Cincinnati. But $20.6 million for their seven busiest starters. The guys that have made the most starts for the Cardinals, the seven, I'm comparing two sets of seven starters. Milwaukee, $20.6 million for their seven starters. The Cardinals, Michaelis, Gray, Lynn, Gibson, Pallante, Mats, Fetty, collectively are being paid $65.2 million by the Cardinals. So that the Cardinals have paid three times as much, basically, for their top seven starters that have worked the most this year. Three times more than the Brewers. And what do they have to show for it? And the Brewers have been hit much harder by losses and injuries and adversity. And, you know, they've had guys go down all the time, but they always find solutions because of that front office. And they don't overspend for those solutions. You know, so when you look with the Cardinals, like, for example, the smart guys up in Milwaukee, when they were looking, said, well, who, you know, we have an eye on this guy. I know we hadn't done much in the major leagues, Tobias Myers, but the Brewers saw something in him, and this is what they do. They find gems because of their ability to identify pitching talent or what they can do to improve a pitcher to make a big difference. Well, Tobias Myers this year is like 10th in the National League in starting pitching ERA. He's making $740,000. I mean, Sonny Gray's making $10 million. They're paying him $25 million a year, but he deferred a lot of the money, and he's making $10 million this year. But the Brewers go out and find Tobias Myers, and he's making $740,000. Miles Michaelis is making nearly $17 million, right? They went out and got Gibson at $12 million, Lynn at $10 million. They're paying Mats $12 million this year. Money wasted. It's just money thrown away. And I know hindsight is 2020. I get all that. But I'm talking about what the Brewers did on the fly when they were having a major, major, major issue filling a rotation. They did it wonderfully. And that's not all. This might even be more humorous or irritating based on your perspective. But this season, the entire Brewers position player group, all right, you add them all up, their salaries, and that's what I did. The entire position player group has been paid about just under $64 million, right? And if you take Yelich's salary out of there, $26 million, the other guys combined are making less than $38 million. And if you look at the Cardinals, I mean, their figure is much, much higher, much, much higher, $30 million or so, right? And so let me repeat this number again, because I'm about to kind of tie this all together. So the entire Milwaukee position player group, $63.67 million this year. In St. Louis, three players, Goldschmidt, Arenado, and Contreras, are being paid $68 million. So the Cardinals, three guys making $68 million. The Brewers, all of their position players making, let's round it off to $64 million. Silence. There's really nothing much more to say than that. And then the other thing the Brewers do is they develop young talent. And, you know, you can just go look at all the rookies that have come through for them. So, you know, the Brewers, compared to the Cardinals, and they're spending so much less money than the Cardinals, right? And it's been that way for a long time. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier in the video, but it's okay to repeat. Since 2017, the Cardinals have spent, and I had to update the stat, the Cardinals have spent over $400 million more than the Brewers since 2017. Add all those years together, including this year. The Brewers have spent $400 million less than the Cardinals, and they have taken over the division. And that's why, and I know I'm kind of a nag, but I can't emphasize the point enough. For the whole spend crowd, with this group running the franchise? Oh, really? So you want to burn more money. You, metaphorically speaking, you want to take literally all the money that they've wasted. So you want to take, metaphorically, you want to take a couple hundred million dollars out in the backyard and set a bonfire. That's what you want to do. So you want them to spend. And get deeper in the hole because they're stupid in how they spend money, right? Is that what you want? Not me, brother and sister, not me. I want payroll efficiency because, among other things, it'll prevent a lot of these dumb moves that result in money thrown away. And the Brewers are an exact example of what the kind of thing the Cardinals should do much better. Two things: develop young players better, but also make smarter payroll decisions. Make the best use of your resources. Have an eye for talent, where you don't get stuck paying some guy $17 million when you can find someone making $1 million or $2 million. So the Brewers are interesting to me because we can learn a lot from them, and we can get over this obsession with spending. Because the Brewers, I know they haven't done much in the postseason. That's the one thing you could say they failed at. I don't know why. Postseasons tend to be random. I mean, Tony La Russa didn't win his first World Series. He came in 96. He didn't win his first pennant till 2004. And it was his first World Series since 2006. Sometimes it happens. But that said, since the start of 2017, the Brewers have won more postseason games than the Cubs and Cardinals, who have each won four. The Brewers have won seven. But the Brewers are going to be able to take another whack at it this fall, unlike the Cardinals and the Cubs. But you got to get into the tournament, and the Brewers are getting into the tournament, and they're winning division titles. Those two teams can't match them. And so it's not surprising. And so, you know, you look at it, you know, the Brewers, you look at where they are offensively this year. They ranked sixth in runs per game. The Cardinals ranked 24th. When you're talking about runs allowed per game, the Brewers are fourth and the Cardinals are 19th. So despite that huge gap in spending, the Brewers get better results in all areas. They have many more stolen bases. The Cardinals' defense is fine. The Brewers' defense is great. So in all phases of the game, starting pitching, bullpen, position player talent, power, stolen bases, defense, they have the advantage. And again, I repeat, this year, the Cardinals in the 40-man payroll are outspending the Brewers by $21 million. And $425 million since the start of 2017. I want to read something here, and because I mentioned Craig Counsell, you know, of course, Counsell famously, notoriously left the Brewers. He's a Wisconsin guy, grew up not far from the ballpark, 20, 25 miles or so. And he went down to Chicago, and he says, because he always, first of all, he's kind of said he's always wanted to live in Chicago. He loves the city, but also he knows that the Ricketts family can afford to do anything they want to do with this baseball team, but they don't spend their money wisely either. Counsell was really kind of irritated, or his exasperation came through the other night after the Cubs were eliminated. And the only reason I'm reading this stuff to you is because it's also relative to the Cardinals situation. Okay. So he was asked about his former team winning their second straight division title and doing it by a wide margin. At least it was 10 games at the time he spoke. Counsell said, "There's a big gap. They're ahead of us by a lot. It's a talented team on and off the field. That's a talented team on and off the field. Get it? Get it? Front office. Little shot there at Jed Hoyer, the Cubs president of baseball operations, who, by the way, is really close friends with John Mozeliak. Anyway, let's start this over. There's a big gap. They're ahead of us by a lot. It's a talented team. On and off the field, that's a talented team. There's a big gap, and we got room to make up. There's no question about it. Frankly, it makes it daunting." That's Craig Counsell. His shift down to Chicago didn't change the dynamic in the Brewers-Cubs competition, did it? Everyone thought, oh, man, they took his manager. Oh, they're going to win the division now. I thought they had a pretty good shot. I ain't going to sit here and be a hypocrite. Counsell continued, quote, "Yeah, I mean, we got to get better, man. The team we're chasing is 10 games ahead of us. We got to get better. And we should be trying to build 90-win teams here." Now, he's not putting a limit at 90. His point is you got to get into the 90s. He said, "We should be trying to build 90-win teams here. That's like what you have to do. That's a playoff standard. That's what you got to get to be safely in the playoffs, safely in the tournament, right? So from that perspective, we got a ways to go." And the Cubs are spending about $237 million in the luxury tax payroll. They're right around the threshold. Counsell added this. He talked about the rest of the Central, which obviously includes the Cardinals, but I would say most notably the Cardinals. He said, when he was asked, catching the Brewers, and he said, quote, "The whole division. I would say that about the other teams too. The Brewers have created a gap the last 2 years in the division. And yeah, we got room to go, man. We got work to do for sure." Now, we've always talked about the calibrating Cardinals. You know, we all envision this meeting in these past several seasons. You know, this meeting, and, you know, John Mozeliak saying, "Well, you know, I'm looking at the calculus, and now that there's 3 wild card spots, you know, all we got to do is get to about 85 wins, maybe to 86 wins, and we build that kind of team, and we get in the tournament, and then anything can happen." Craig Counsell is saying, no, you got to at least get to 90. And I repeat, Counsell is not putting a cap on that. Right? He's just saying at least 90. You can't do it with 86, 87 wins and be sure of anything. And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. The other thing, and this is why I brought Counsell into this. The other thing that is interesting to me is that he has a higher standard than what we have seen in St. Louis. Now, Counsell clearly is bothered by losing the division to the Brewers, and probably some extra salt in the wound because that was his team. But he wasn't going to do the whole, "Well, we've had some injuries. Well, you know, we expected certain things. They didn't happen. Hey, it's baseball." He didn't talk about, "Well, I know we underachieved this year, but, you know, I really like our clubhouse. Our guys play hard. No, He is ticked off by what the Cubs did not do this year, and he's not sitting there acting like a Boy Scout troop leader. Our guys work hard. Our guys really want to do the right things. Our guys, they keep trying. You know, that, stop it. Shut up about that. And yeah, I'm referring to Ollie Marmol. Council sets an example of how you should respond when your team comes up short, especially a team with a $237 million 40-man payroll. Wouldn't you like to see some of that here? Wouldn't you like to see someone in the Cardinals organization? Basically, what Council's embarrassed by this. That's why he showed exasperation. That's why he was irritated. It's not good enough, and he's not going to stand for it. Wouldn't you like to see some of that down here in St. Louis, that fire, that attitude? Instead of just like lowering the standard and talking about how hard your guys work, my coaches, oh, those guys work their butts off. Oh, those guys care. They work all the, that's their job. They're supposed to work. You got to get results. Everybody in this game works. You're this applies to any manager that talks this nonsense. You're professionals. This isn't about effort as far as, you know, the way you go about your game, the way you play the game. You don't think every other team's putting in an effort? So I appreciate Council. I appreciate the fact he's insisting on higher standards. He's not suggesting it. He's not shrugging and talking about, well, our team gave it their all. That's a good group of guys in there. No. He spared us of that pablum, all right? And Cubs fans, they're probably taking shots at him because he didn't win the division. But Cubs fans ought to be, I think, ought to be heartened by the fact that that's his attitude. Down here, it's kind of, you want to be patted on the head because you're getting hard. Oh, let's pat him all on the head. Give him a juice box. Let's give him the juice boxes. Let's get him some orange slices. You guys really tried today. All right, I'm being obnoxious. Some of you say, well, we like it when you're obnoxious. I don't know if that's true. But I wanted to just go into this because I think it's a fascinating thing, especially for the spend crowd. Now, you need to be smarter. Give me brains over dollars as far as counting dollars. I'd rather see the work done by smart people. And then the spending becomes easier. And you save money by not throwing money away. Then you have more to spend when you're ready to make a bold move or two. You see what I'm saying? All right. I'm going to shut up. I'll be back later with the Mizzou preview. Vanderbilt coming in for the SEC opener. Until then, thank you very much.